Is there something in your life that you have learned or discovered, something new, something different, something unique that, you know, maybe there was a time in your life you didn't know how to do it, and then you learned how to do it, you discovered it, and it just kind of changed everything? Let me give you a couple examples. My son Logan just began cycling. So he'd never really rode, he learned how to ride a bike as a kid, but then he got into cycling and now he's got this outfit and a helmet and all these kind of things. And he gets up every day and he tries to ride 10 to 15 miles on this bicycle that was parked in my living room this weekend. He brings it everywhere with him. It changed everything when he learned how to cycle. We've got a friend in from out of town. His name is Doug. And just 5 months ago, Doug became a new parent. He is discovering what it means to have a baby in the house, which is why he's at my house this weekend all alone to get some quiet time. If there's something in your life, maybe you're thinking of a hobby or maybe a life change or something that you've discovered, what I'd like you to do just for about 30 seconds is just kind of share with the person next to you, your neighbor, maybe the person around you, just kind of share what that thing is. It doesn't have to be a long story, just maybe something that you've discovered or learned that's kind of changed the way you do life now. Okay? Go ahead and share that for just a minute, and then we're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 4 together. Hopefully some cool stuff that's, you know, maybe years ago or maybe just last week you learned or discovered something. I've got to tell you, if you know my wife, Lisa, then you know that my life is full of constant surprises. And most of them are really, really good surprises. Well, the latest thing at our house has been raising butterflies. I don't know where this came from, except it all started just a couple months ago when we went outside, and Lisa was outside tending to her flowers, and she found these little caterpillars that were eating the leaves on her flowers, and she's like, come here, I don't know what these are, you know, what's going on out here? So we went outside, and we found that, you know, these little pretty caterpillars, or if you think they're pretty, I don't know, they're kind of creepy too, but they were crawling around on the flowers, and sure enough, you know, she's on her phone, and she's looking these things up, and she finds out that they're monarch caterpillars, and now she's got to rescue them from imminent death, lizards, hornets, you know, whatever might be out there. So before you know it, we've got this plastic container and we're collecting these caterpillars. Within a couple of hours, because she runs to Lowe's, within a couple of hours, we've built this home for these caterpillars so that they will live. And within a couple days, they have begun to build these, to make themselves into these cocoons, these chrysalis. And then just a few days later, maybe a week later, of course, you know what happens with caterpillars. I get this call at work, and she's like, you're not going to believe this. They're becoming butterflies. They're coming out of the cocoons. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing, honey. Like, that never happens a million times all over the world. You know, she's just, you know, she's on YouTube, she's reading these articles, and all of a sudden, Lisa has become the butterfly whisperer, you know. I'm just glad she doesn't get too attached to them. She calls them her babies, but she doesn't give them names. Thank God for that, because about half of them die. But and she also doesn't let them fly around in the house, because that would be a trip. But it's just kind of cool, though, because you know caterpillars and what they do. And even after, you know, seeing like 30 or 40 of these things come to life, it just kind of never seems to get old. Because there's something that has happened that is just unique and beautiful in its own ways. Caterpillars change. And they change into something different, something beautiful. They become butterflies. The old life becomes new life. because change is inevitable for the caterpillar. That's called metamorphosis. It's this transformation that happens because caterpillars were created by God to become butterflies. Now, people were created to change also, to become something different, something new. And you probably know where this message is going today. Is it possible? Is it possible that God created people, you and I, kind of like caterpillars, to rediscover new life, to rediscover new things, like butterflies? Because life does change. We do become something different, maybe today than we were yesterday. Change is inevitable. The question is, what will you become as life changes? You know, sometimes we look in the mirror and it's obvious that things are changing. I mean, you look in the mirror and you go, what happened to the old me? You know, where did this come from? Or where did that come from? You know, it's kind of like, you know, that's part of aging. Or maybe you look in the mirror and you go, man, I look a whole lot better than I did yesterday. You know, like things are going really well right now. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your job. You just kind of don't, maybe everything seems to, you know, nothing's really static. Everything changes. So we look back at our lives and see where we've come from, maybe today that we were yesterday, or we look at today and we say, what's going to be different tomorrow because of what's going on right now? Or we look ahead 6 months or 6 years, and we have to ask the question, who are we going to become if we keep going in the direction that we are going in right now? Maybe change is needed. Maybe it is our job. Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's in our relationships, or maybe our spiritual lives, our relationships with God himself. You know, some of us understand this. You know, we've got to hit rock bottom, you know, before we understand that change is needed. I've heard that for years. But the sad truth is sometimes people don't change. And instead of hitting rock bottom and bouncing back, they become bottom dwellers. That is not what God designed us to be. It doesn't need to be that way. Life isn't supposed to be that way. So no matter where you come from today or where you think your life is or where you're going, we can all change. We can all become something different, something better, something new. A new way can be discovered. A new life can be discovered. And that's why we love the Bible so much. God's Word, it comes alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. This book causes us to look at God and who He made us to be, causes us to look at ourselves. It causes us to want to change our lives and become who He made us to be. It causes us to look at the church and to become the church that He wants us to be. And the world around us, man, as we look at the world and where it's going and who we are, the world that He created it to be. That's what I love about this book of Ephesians that we've been in for the last few weeks. In fact, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. The book of Ephesians, it's in the New Testament towards the back there. You can help your neighbors find that. And today's passage is actually in your sermon notes, so you can open up your bulletins and you can find it in there as well. Go ahead and pop those open and take a look. Ephesians, if you remember, was written by a man who understood what it meant to discover new life, the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this letter from jail to the Ephesian believers and those around the city of Ephesus. Some very powerful words, the book of Ephesians, and it reminds us that we can rediscover the life that God has for us in Christ. Remember, we talked about chapter 1, and we discovered that life can be found in Christ by remembering who Christ is and what He's done and who we are in Him. In chapter 2, we see God reminding us that of who we are in Christ, that we are His masterpieces, that we were created in Him to do the good works that He made us to do. In chapter 3, Chris Freeman, you know, he stepped up and just did a remarkable job preaching and revealing to us God's plan for His church, all of us together, knowing the why and the who we are and what happens when we grow together as His family. And last week, we got into Ephesians 4, and wasn't it great to have John Campbell back up here on stage last Sunday to be able to see him preaching, man, just amazing. And John taught us how we can grow up together in maturity and in unity as God's church. You see, Paul is reminding us in these first few chapters of Ephesians to live in light of the light life of Jesus, to look at Jesus and to model our lives after Him, Jesus who lived a perfect life, who taught perfectly, who died on the cross for our sins and then rose from the grave so that we could have life in Him. And we who are in Christ, who follow Jesus, we believe in Him. And we surrender our lives to Jesus in faith, and we trust Him, and we understand that His way really is the best way for us to live. and to discover these lives. That his way is really the best way for the church to live and to be the body of Christ. And Paul has established that in Christ, we are saved. That we decide to pledge our allegiance to Jesus and are baptized into Christ, we are saved by him and we are going to heaven. And Jesus died so that you could live for him. And y'all, the one who died for you and the one who rose from the grave so that you could have life, he gets to tell you how to live your life. He gets permission, I hope. He gets permission in my life because he died for me and he gave me life. Knowing that we're saved, we can rediscover new life in Christ. You see, pre-Jesus, we were dead. We were outsiders, just crawling around like caterpillars. But in Christ, we rediscover this new life. We're made new in him as butterflies. Jesus is the why that we have new life. In Ephesians 4, as we look at this today, we're gonna discover the how to live that new life in Christ. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32, as you look at these verses, and I just hope that they will just kind of come alive in our lives as we read these together. The first thing we see, verse 17 through 22, is that what do we do with the old life? What happens to the old shell, the caterpillar? Paul says, put it off. Throw it away. It's no good anymore. Get rid of it. Look at verse 17. I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. This word futility means morally empty. It's good for nothing anymore. And this whole word, this idea of thinking, I want you to kind of remember this word. This has to do with our minds, the intellect, the word gnosko. It means your mind is so important in this whole entire passage. Paul gets real here, man. He's insisting on it. This is gut level stuff. This is from God himself. No longer live as the Gentiles do. This word Gentiles, it refers to people who are not in Christ. And once ago, we were not in Christ. Some people reading this letter used to be Gentiles themselves. So it tells us that no matter where we come from, God says, don't live that way anymore. What way is that? And this is where Paul he goes for it. I mean, this is important enough that he just kind of, he just picks the scab off. He rips the Band-Aid right off. He goes right for it. This is who you used to be. He says, you remember how things used to be? You remember how, look around at the world and how it is today. Look around at what's really happening. All the things that make the world, such a great place to live in. That made you such a great person before you knew Jesus. Remember those things. Look at verse 18. They, the Gentiles, are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Y'all, this is the worst place to be. Separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity. Some of us remember what it's like to be that way, to have our hearts hardened. In fact, sometimes we go through seasons of our lives where we lose our sensitivity to God. We just kind of push him away. If you ever work construction, you know what this word means. This phrase means to become callous. When you're throwing boards around and lifting bricks, I remember those days of just go to work with the tool belt, and you're always swinging a hammer and always using a shovel and always carrying cinder blocks around. And you go home and you're like, what is going on with my hands? Like they're all blistered up, and then pretty soon, after a couple days, a couple weeks, your skin begins to get hard, and you lose your feeling in those, and in your fingertips, and then you start picking the skin off and chewing on it and stuff like that. And you can't even feel it. That's the best place to get a splinter is in one of your calluses, right? Because you can just kind of dig it. Okay, never mind. But that's what this word callous means, and it's how our hearts and our minds used to be towards God, calloused to him, hardened to his word. And Paul says that in that state, we've given ourselves, or they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge or practice every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. This literally means that we've given in, or this is where we came from. We gave in to whatever brought physical satisfaction at the time or pleasure. The physical things in life, they just shot right up the list, and they were the most important things in our life, whatever right here, right now would satisfy us. But that, verse 20, that is not the way of life. There's that phrase again. way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ. Remember this? Do you remember what you were taught in him? Look what Paul says. In accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. The truth that is in Jesus. That's where truth is found. He uses this word twice, this way of life of you were taught with regard to your former way of life. Just remember back to who you were because a change was needed. And maybe today you're looking at your life and you're thinking, you know what? I have drifted away. I'm becoming callous in some ways. I need something new, something fresh. And that something fresh is the truth of Jesus. And when we rediscover this new way of life, this word here, this Greek word means new behavior, new conduct, new way of acting. He uses it twice here, this new way of life. Something amazing happens. We put off that old self. Look what it says. Put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Put it off. Cast it away. Throw it out. It is corrupted. This word literally means to be rotted out from the inside, spoiled, ruined, shriveled. This week I went in my refrigerator to make a smoothie and I grabbed this carton of yogurt and I peeled it open and I went, that doesn't smell right. Oh, that's okay. I'll just use it anyway. And then the closer I got to the pouring it in, I went, whoa, time out a second. Lisa, come here for a minute. Does this smell right to you? And she goes, oh no, throw that away. You know why? It was spoiled. It was ruined. It was good. No, get rid of that. That's what Paul is saying here. Get rid of your old self. It was no good. You needed something new. You needed to be replaced. It was withered by the lies, by the deceitful desires of your old life. But now we have a new truth, a new reality, a new life, and it is in Jesus. It is in Christ. In other words, the old caterpillar life is gone, and we have a new, different kind of life. That life is in Christ. The old is gone. Put it away. Lay it aside. Throw it out. And in exchange, guess what? We get to put something else on. We get to replace it. Put on something. The new life. It's fresh. It's new. Look at Ephesians 23 and 24. Look what it says. Put on the new life. This is a theme. I love this. This is a theme that runs all through Paul's writings. Probably because of where Paul came from. If you remember, Jesus transformed Paul. He transformed his old life of fighting the way of Jesus to following the way of Jesus. So that's why we read in places like Romans chapter 6. That's why we see in 2 Corinthians 5 about Paul writing about the new creation, Colossians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 5, 25, where he says we can walk in the Spirit of God himself, and especially here in Ephesians chapter 4. You see, in Christ, you are transformed into a new person with a new mind that thinks new things and a body that acts in new ways. There is a difference between the old and the new. There is an obvious difference between the old life and the new life that now lives in Christ. I want to say that again. This is the theme that runs through Paul's writings. In Christ, you are transformed into a new person that thinks with a new mind, that thinks new things in a body as a result that acts in new ways. So there's a difference between the old life and the new life, a life that is alive in Christ. That's what Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 are all about. In Christ, you were taught to be made new. Do you see that? Be made new. That word means renewed, renovated, restored, reformed in the attitudes of our minds. Again, Paul is just focusing on our minds right now to think. It's so important because as we think, then guess what? We do. So Paul says, you renewed in the attitude of your mind, put on the new self. It's the action word. Put it on. Clothe it. This is your old self. You are now a new person in Christ. This word anthropos, it means a new humanity. You have discovered a new way to be a human being created by God. Created by God, not to be a butterfly, well, kind of a butterfly. Created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. A whole new creation. See, we once lived outside of Christ. We were caterpillars, and back then we did not know the transformation that was to come. But now in Christ, now that we've been made alive again, we know the power of God and what he can do. So in Christ, as followers of Jesus, we discover this new human, the new human that God created us to be, and we will not go back. We can't go back. If you're a butterfly, you can't go back to being a caterpillar. The caterpillar has become something new. You've become something different. You've been reborn into a new life. The way you look, the way you act is different. You know, Lisa, she tells me that, I don't know if you think this is interesting or not, but she tells me a caterpillar will shed its old self, its old skin, 5 times before it becomes a butterfly. I don't know what's going on in that little cocoon, but it's a process, and something's going on there to become a new self, to be recreated, to be a butterfly. And you and I, when we come to Jesus and we're baptized into him and we start living in the Spirit of God, we become something different, created by God to live in righteousness and holiness. You know, if butterflies aren't getting it for you today, I don't know. Can I talk about sports for a minute? All right, good. I'm glad you agree. I have the privilege of volunteer coaching football over at Central High School. And, you know, and it's a great time. I go over there during the week and, you know, and coach the guys up in the Central Bears. You know, we play over across town in our own stadium. You know, we got the uniforms and all that kind of stuff. And it's not uncommon in our county for students to transfer schools. In fact, it's not uncommon in college or in pro football either to change teams, you know, sometimes along the way. So let me ask you this. I mean, if just imagine this for a second. A football player comes from another school, a rival school, onto our team, okay? He's come from another team, and now he's part of our program, okay? He's left his old uniform, his old coaches, his old stadium, and his old program behind, and now he has become a Central Bear. He gets a new uniform. He gets a new stadium to play in. He gets a new set of teammates. He gets new coaches. He has been literally a new identity. He's become part of the culture of our high school. He's left the old behind. Now, what do you think if he starts to go back to his old team and starts sharing our plays with his old coaches and gets on Twitter and, you know, whatever, and starts sharing our plays with his old teammates? He starts going, he's not allowed to do that. In fact, he made a choice to come over to our team. He has done something different by his own choice. This is his new reality. You don't go back to your old coaches and to your old stadium and join in and do the things you used to do because you are a different team. You're part of a different team now. You understand that? You see, that is what Paul is talking about here. When a player does this, man, he needs to be happy with his new life and become part of the new culture and follow the ways of his new team and his new coaches. And help us become a winning program. Ephesians 4:24 reminds us that we have all been transferred, literally transformed from the inside out, from one team to another. We've talked about this. Remember, Christ has adopted us as his sons and daughters into his family back in chapter 1. We've been redeemed through Christ's blood. We learned this in 1 verse 7. We've been talking about this. We've been given a new family, the church, to play on. This is your new team. Your lifestyle choices are no longer based on your former team, on your old life, the thing that you left behind. Your ethnicity, your gender, your skin color, the way that you grew up, even your political affiliation. Paul says it didn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. For our context today, even being an American is secondary now to our new identity in Christ. Paul is saying that you have a new life, a new identity, a new affiliation, a new allegiance, and it is in Jesus Christ himself. That's who we are. You've put on a new life, a new uniform. The caterpillar life is gone, and you were recreated to fly and to live for Jesus. Rediscover what that new life looks like. And that's what the rest of Ephesians is all about. The rest of chapter 4, chapter 5 and on. And we're going to see that in the next few weeks. So as you look at the rest of Ephesians 4, we're going to just kind of see some examples. Paul just gives us some ideas here of what the new life lives like, what it looks like. Look at verses 25 through 32. Here's what the new life looks like. And Paul is actually writing to Christ followers in the church, the butterflies. He gave us a new life. Jesus gave us a new life so that we could live new life. And y'all look, man, this is absolutely life-changing stuff. In fact, I don't know of any other part of the Bible, I couldn't name another part of the Bible right now that has changed my life in personal ways on a daily basis more than Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. It's revolutionized the way that I live for Jesus. It's revolutionized and helped our family through some of the hardest times we've ever been through. This is real life stuff, and it really is, and some of you know what I'm talking about. We're not the same way we used to be because of just listening and doing what the Bible says to do here. And I promise you, if you want a stronger marriage, take these words seriously and live them out. because our divorce rate would shrink down to zero if we would just behave the way the Bible tells us to do. You want stronger families, kids, relationships at work. You want to learn how to not get fired? Check these words out. You want to learn how to get along in your relationships, how our church can become healthier so that it's a megaphone of hope to the world. We'd live these words out. Look at verses 25 through 32 and see the examples that Paul gives us of what it looks like when we throw off the old and put on the new. Just let God's word speak to you through these verses today. Think about those caterpillars and butterflies. Look at verse 25. Therefore, in fact, you can look in your bulletins and see these words. I'm just going to read them to you, so let them sink in. Verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off, there's that word again, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of it. Rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And be kind and be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, as just as in Christ, God forgave you. You see the obvious difference between the old life and the new life, the caterpillar life and the butterfly life? It changes everything. Just a quick review, the old life. The old life was about telling lies and living those deceitful lies that Paul talked about, but the new life is about telling the truth, being honest, and living in the truth. The old life was about anger that leads to sin, revenge, wrath. Man, our world would be a better place if we just turn aside anger that leads to those sins and understand that anger can lead to resolution. That's what the new life is about, anger that leads to resolution and peace. The old life was about stealing. The new life, it's about working, using our hands for things that are useful. The old life was about taking. The new life, about giving, sharing. The old life, it's about unwholesome talk. This word unwholesome, again, means useless. Sapros, it means rotten or corrupt. In fact, Paul uses this word, it's unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, referring to our speech. You know, it's funny, it's also the Greek word for the point of a sword. Just think about that. Our new life is about using our mouths for helpful things, helpful talk, encouraging, edification for your good and the good of others. The old life grieves the Holy Spirit. In other words, does things that you know, with the Holy Spirit living in us, and you understand this if you're a Christ follower, you know, sometimes we'll engage in activities that you know the Holy Spirit is just not comfortable with. And if you can't do what you're doing or behave the way you're behaving in a way that gives honor to God in the name of Jesus, stop doing those activities. Just stop doing those things. Because the new life walks in the Spirit. And you know when that's happening. Walks in the Spirit. The old life was about bitterness, rage, and brawling, and slander, and malice. You get revenge. Unforgiveness, for example, sinful anger. I'm looking around the room thinking, I know some of y'all's stories. You're thinking, that was me. Like, I couldn't even walk into a bar without walking out with a black eye kind of stuff. You know, I mean, that's what the old life was about. But the new life, it's like, you used to be what? Because the new life is about kindness, and I see it in you, and you see it in you. It's about compassion and feeling for others and empathy, about caring for one another and forgiving one another in Christ. forgiving just as God has forgiven us. That's a great list to start with. And there's all kinds of other lists that help us rediscover how to live this new life in Christ, all modeled after the life of Jesus. And with God's Holy Spirit alive in us and working in us, we can live this way and we should live this way. It's just a great thing to think about if we want to. So I got to ask you this morning, do you want to? I mean, do you really want to live this way? Like, you want to separate the old life from the new life in a different way every single day and rediscover what new life is all about? Because we really do. You say, I believe you. I want to do this. Yes. How do we do that? Well, rediscovering new life really can happen in real life ways. And I just want to share a couple things with you as we get ready to wrap up. I love how Bible scholar Michael DeFazio does this in his teaching. He's put this process into three actionable ideas that all of us can kind of get our heads around, I think. Right from Ephesians 4, and here they are. Here's what rediscovering this new life is all about. The first thing, or one of the main things, is renewing your mind. Renew your mind. Remember when Paul said that? Verse 23. Be made new in the spirit of your mind. Paul reminds us that Ephesians, that their mind used to think that way, so their body used to do those things. But now your mind must think differently so that your body will behave differently. See, what you think will determine what you do. It all starts in our minds and opening them up and focusing on the truth of Jesus. See, if we change the way we think with new thoughts, then our bodies will follow. This is why learning is so important. Learning the Bible, understanding doctrine, being in a small group, getting involved with spiritual mentors that teach us, spending time with God, learning, praying, thinking, just understanding the truth that is in Jesus. It is so important. If we refocus on what is true, then God will tell us what to do. And our bodies will follow. That's what this next thing is about, retraining your body. Verse 24, the mind thinks, the body follows. If the way we think is what we do, the way we believe is how we act. If we change the way we think, then we'll change the way we live. That's why this is an action word. Throw off the old, put on the new. Throw off the old, put on the new. Throw off the old, put on the new. It's literally a physical action sometimes. We have to do this. We've got to replace old actions with new actions. Example. If you would have heard the way that I talked 35 years ago, you would have been like, how does that, man, you wouldn't want your kids walking around behind me. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Our language just, it wasn't the same as it is today. And the way that I don't curse anymore because I learned to replace those old curse words with silly, stupid replacement words until finally I got tired of saying the replacement words. And I don't even say those words anymore. You see, replacing old habits, maybe it's physical addiction. You know, you got to replace the things that are dragging you down and pulling you back with new habits. Replace the old with the new. Instead of gossiping, we encourage. Just identify what those bad habits are. Just kind of think about them and then replace them with new positive habits. Tell your body who's boss. Don't let your body control your mind. It's the other way around. Identify the old habits and replace them with new habits in Christ, habits that align with Jesus. So we change our mind and we let God retrain our body and then we just repeat the process. Just keep at it. Just keep going. Focus on what is true and add in new practices and add in new behaviors. And pretty soon you look back and you go, who was that guy? I don't even know him anymore. That's the way it ought to be. Keep redoing it. There is power in repeated obedience. Over and over again, putting off, and then pretty soon you go, I don't have to put on anything that I used to have to put off because it's not there anymore. The Bible tells us to just keep pressing on and to leave the sin behind that entangles us, to get back up. And that's the value of being together in a church, to being in small groups. We need each other. We need each other to stay in the game. We need each other to keep our minds and to keep our bodies and to keep going, to keep moving in the right direction, to keep growing. We need spiritual mentors. We need to be praying together, fasting together, growing together. Times of confession, times of repentance, times of turning around and getting right with God, repeating the process, growing over and over again on a daily basis. Taking off and putting on and putting on and putting on. Man, I hope that you'll just explore your next steps here at CCW. Just go right out that door today and just talk to Josh and his team about how you can begin to grow, maybe from where you are now to where you can go in the future. Maybe join a small group or get involved in one of our services or programs or whatever. Just explore those steps today. And this week, repeat the process. Go back to God's word over and over again. We've been challenging you for weeks. Read Ephesians. Read Ephesians 1 through. If it takes you 20 minutes and some of y'all haven't read Ephesians yet, go back and read. Just read 1, 2, 3, and 4. Read those chapters. Repeat the process. Focus on this passage this week. Renew, retrain, and repeat what God says to do, and you will see and discover new life in him. Man, praise God that we're in this together, y'all. Thank you, Jesus, that we are here as a church, as a family. This letter is for the church, and rediscovering new life is happening right here, right now in this place. Some of y'all crawled in this place maybe years ago as caterpillars, and you've been flying around like butterflies because of what Jesus has done in your life. And this place is better for it. Your lives are better. The world is better because of that. There's stories everywhere. Just look around the room and you see the new where the old used to be. I know that's my story and it's your story too. Don't go back to the old. And if you feel it coming on, put it off. Surround yourself with people that will help you keep going. In Christ, this new life, real change. It's not just possible. It's inevitable. Caterpillars turn into butterflies. That's our story. It could be your story too. I'm going to ask the band to come. We're going to close with a really cool kind of, I think it's a time to celebrate, man. I think it's a time to celebrate because all of us are here in this process. We're all in the process of rediscovering and living this new life together. And if you're here today and you want to have that new life for Jesus, maybe you've never made that commitment to Christ. Today you can do that. You can put your old life behind once and for all. Leave them behind in that baptistry and come out of that water a brand new person. The Holy Spirit living inside of you and walk with Jesus, a new creation. And Christians, if there's something you need to do today, think about today, change today, now's the time to stop and think about those things. In your bulletin, there's a place to write these things down. There's some questions on the screen. What is the old that God is telling you to put off? Think about it. Think. In fact, just right now, just think. Something old? Need to get rid of. Or maybe something new that you need to put on, replace it with. Oh yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff. Think about that. And this question, what are you going to do to live in the new? What are you going to do? It's a great questions. There's a place in your bulletins you can answer those questions today, even before you leave, or today, or tonight, this week. Really get real with God and say, hey, look, what do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to put off? What do you want me to put on? So that I can discover new life in you every day. Let's stand together and let's sing together. And I'm going to close with prayer and just celebrate what God has done and take these things seriously. God, we love you and I thank you. Thank you for the new life that we have in Jesus. It is open and for every single person in this room today. God, it's open to our neighbors, it's open to our friends at work, it's open to the people that we're going to cross paths with in restaurants and all over our community today, this new life. So God, help us not to focus on the old life and the negative and think about how bad people are, but God, think about what they can become if they just know you. And God, I pray that we will share that hope with them and we will live that hope in front of them. And God, I pray that we wouldn't even focus on the old life that we used to live, God, but that we would begin replacing and seeing who you made us to be. And God, I pray that starting right now in this moment as we sing and as we share and as we praise your name and as we think about the old that we put off and the new that we put on, God, that you would give us insight, spiritual insight from your Spirit himself of how to change and discover new life today, tomorrow, and every day that will continue to grow and be the people you created us to be. God, I thank you. I thank you for the butterflies in this room that make my life so beautiful and make this world such a better place. I give you praise most of all for your son, Jesus, who makes it all possible. It's in his name we pray. Amen.